welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
We worship you, Lord. Father God, we pray to you in that lovely name, that name that is above every name that is named. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your willingness to lay down your life, to suffer and die for us, to take it back up, ascend to heaven, be seated at the right hand of God Almighty. I thank you, Lord, for the great access that you've granted us. Father, what a wonderful plan. Only you, Lord. No one else could have come up with this incredible opportunity for a fallen man to approach a perfect God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Give me your words today, God. Give me your words, Lord, that I might express your plan of salvation, that I can show people, Lord, according to the Scriptures, what you have provided through your Son, Jesus. Help me, Lord. You know I need you. Help us to hear what you say. Help us to receive it by faith, God. And I pray, God, pour out more grace, God, upon your people. And I always pray in Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I hope y'all had a very Merry Christmas. You sure look good, but you might be, I don't know, maybe you're still full from yesterday. Y'all aren't tired, are you? They say turkey makes you want to go to sleep. I don't know if that's true or not. About everything I eat makes me want to go to sleep. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm excited to be here. I'm absolutely thrilled to be here as your special guest speaker this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about Christmas one last time. I normally don't do this. I just preach whatever comes to me, whatever the Lord lays on my heart when I'm meditating and reading the Scriptures and pursuing Him. And I'm doing that now, but it's like He just keeps stirring this in my spirit. And so you get some Christmas sermons this year, which is kind of unusual for me. I'm liable to preach about fathers on Mother's Day. Matter of fact, generally I do. Hallelujah. But humility is the Christmas story. Humility is the Christmas story. A very familiar passage, Philippians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 1, the scripture reads, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition." Right there it is. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." You might turn me down just a little bit. "Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." I love this next heading to the next paragraph, so I'm going to read that. This isn't the scripture. This is just a heading to the text. "The humbled and exalted Christ." Verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." I need to read that again. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, I read a little short story. It's a true experience of a Bible college professor on a Wednesday night, maybe about 10 days ago. I'm not 100% sure when it was. It may have been this last Wednesday night. My days just kind of run together. I've always told you, numbers are not my big thing. I'm a word guy. You give me some words, I'm happy. I can read for hours, and I just love to read. That's my deal. You throw a math problem in front of me, and I'm just going to get a calculator out. I'm not going to try to figure it out. It's too stressful to me. And I'll probably get it wrong if I tried to figure it out. So I'm a word guy. And this story was astonishing. And I'm not going to read it all, but the gist of it was this. This Bible professor is trying to encourage these young Christians to get involved in missions. Missions is a huge deal. We should all be involved in missions, whether it's giving or going. One of the two, we need to be involved in missions. We either need to equip people to go, as the Philippian church did, the Apostle Paul, or we need to be going ourselves. And God has called missionaries out of this house, and I'm grateful for that. That just excites me and thrills me. And early next year, I'll be reading, and we'll be talking about the vision of the church. But this guy is trying to provoke the fire of God in these kids. I mean, they're from 18 to the early 20s, and he goes through this little synopsis, this little story, and I can't remember all the details of it, but basically the Christianity began as a movement, and then it went to Rome and became an institution, to Europe and became a culture, and to America and become a business. And that's a quote, and I can't remember the man's name. If I could, I would tell you, because I didn't think of that, but I consider it very accurate. In the American church, almost every sermon ends with an offering. And that is just, it's every sermon does not end in an offering. I know the Bible talks about money. We need to be interested in what God says about money. But here's one of the things God said: you can't serve money and me. So we need to get that out of our system and serve God. But he made that statement, and then he asked, or this girl asked, wanted to ask a question, and she said, "Are Christians a body? Is Christianity a body?" And the professor was stumped. He was like, "Where's she going with this?" And he sat there for a little bit trying to, you know, get ahead of her. And he could come up with nothing other than yes, Christianity is a body. And she said, if a body becomes a business, isn't that prostitution? He said she was the youngest kid in the class. She was 18 years old. Her name was Martha. And when she made that statement, it changed his life forever. See, a prostitute and a lover do many of the same things. It's the motivation that is different. A lover does what they do because they love the other person. A prostitute does what they do because of what they're going to get from the other person. See, I'm all over the blessings of God. I shared with you all not too long ago the story of the cardinal and how God has blessed me and my wife. It's phenomenal what he has done for us. And I am so grateful. But I have checked my heart for 30 years and constantly asked the Lord to check my heart. I was praying about it this morning, not even thinking about this message. God, check my heart. Make sure my motives are right, God. Show me what you want me to do. I want to think like you want me to think. I want to act like you want me to act. I want to treat people the way you want me to treat people. I want to love you the way you want me to love you. So I'm constantly asking God for more grace. Help me, Lord. I need you. And there's nothing wrong with the blessings. It's the motive. I'm really glad that God helped Philip find his keys. I'm thrilled. That's a blessing. You're 5 hours from home and you lost your keys. It's really good to find them. And God cares about something as small as car keys. That's how good he is. But I don't believe Philip serves God because God shows him where his keys are. I believe Philip serves God because Philip loves God. And that's the motive. Do we serve God for what he gives us? Because there is great reward in humility. There is great reward in humility. We just read it. Jesus laid his life down. He came to the earth. He is equal to God, the Bible says. Somebody said, explain that. I cannot explain that. I've heard a lot of people try, and none of it's really caught the whole story, I do not believe. You want to tell me how three are one, and I get it. You know, people say it's like an apple. You got the peel, you got the fruit, you got the seed. It's all one, and I get that. But I can't explain that. Because God's way more complicated than an apple. Way more complex. Someone that can create a universe that is ever expanding simply by speaking. Someone who has no beginning. Now, if you think about that for about 12 hours, you're probably going to have to go to I can't remember what floor the psychiatric ward is in Jane Phillips, but you might have to go spend a little time there. It might take some Thorazine to get you calmed down. Well, you just accept it by blind faith. You're right. That's the only way to accept it because I can't figure that out. This eternal God humbled himself to the point that he placed himself in the womb of a little virgin girl. See, we've heard this so much that we just like let it just skim right over us. But every time we hear the gospel message, we should apprehend that by faith, because the Bible says the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. And that is not just talking about the unbeliever. He said to all that believe. The grace of God is released in us in more power, more presence when we believe the gospel every time we hear it. It says to all that believe. It doesn't just say the unbeliever. When I hear that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, he humbled himself, the equal triune being with God, humbled himself and came into the womb of a little virgin girl, and then he was born, he lived his life, he suffered, he died, he fulfilled the law, he made a way to God where there was no way. He gave me access to the very throne of God. I can boldly approach the throne of grace, that I may obtain mercy when I need it, which is every day. I need God. I need him desperately. I need him to help me not be a prostitute, but to be a lover. I don't want to be a prostitute. I don't want to just do what I do for God simply because of what he's going to give me. And he's going to give, if you're serving him, he's going to give you stuff. He said, he that winneth souls reaps wages. God said that. So he's going to pay people to do what he tells them to do. But it also says some other frightening stuff in Matthew 7. There's going to be a lot of people that have done a lot of things in the name of Jesus. And he'll say, depart from me. Because there's a lot of people, they're a lot like Satan. That's what they do. I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. That's what Satan did. I will exalt myself above the Most High. I will exalt my throne above his. I will do this, I'll do that. And God said, oh, really? Jesus said, I saw him fall as lightning. You don't mess with the Most High and stay high. He said, he that humbles himself will be lifted up, but he that exalts himself will be made low. Hallelujah. See, this stuff all makes sense if you spend enough time digging it out. And if we will believe the gospel, that's how we get saved. See, a lot of what I'm going to talk to you about this morning is not salvation. We are saved by grace through faith. We are not saved by works. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. And he gave us access to God. He's it. He's the only way. There's no other way to God except through the suffering, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's it. It is not a works-based salvation. Now, you are saved to produce good works. But you don't produce good works to get saved. You produce good works because you are. Amen. That's the truth. We are saved to produce good works. But we're saved before we produce good works. Robert Morris put it like this week, and it's about as good as I've ever heard it. It's about as good as A.W. Tozer when he talks about that planet Earth is like land, an ocean, and land, and God puts humanity on this ocean-going ship. And there's a lot of things that happens on that ship, but it is going to end up exactly where God said it was going to end up. There's a lot of things that happen on the ship, but it's going somewhere and it's going to get there. This thing's going to wind up just like God said it was going to. And Robert Morris said this. He said, there's people that are in pursuit of the God we serve are either in pursuit of him through works, which is the law of Moses, or the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the two ways that people that are in pursuit of our God pursue him. Because there's no other people pursuing that God. They got their own gods. People say Allah and Yah are the same God. No, they're not. They're not the same God. Well, they talk about Abraham. Well, I don't care who they talk about. If you ever get near enough to God to hear his voice on the subject, he'll say, don't you dare compare me with another God. Because he's incomparable. He alone is God. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is the Most High. So you get all these people trying to convince everybody that there's a lot of ways to God. They are lying to you. There is one way to God. His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah to His name. I'm so grateful that He was merciful enough to save me. People say, I found God. No, God found you. God was never lost. You were. Robert Moore said that it's like when we try to, because we vacillate sometimes. I struggled with this for years. We vacillate between works and grace. We'll work for a little while and then we'll come to grace for a little while. And we'll work for a little while and then we'll come to grace for a little while. He said it's like you going back to your ex-husband. He said we're either married to Jesus or we're married to the law. And there's no one that's going to be justified by the law. No one's going to be justified by the law. No flesh can be saved through the law. And there's preachers that say the Jews do not have to get saved through Jesus. They're lying. He's the only way anyone's going to get saved. Well, they're good people. No, they're not. And neither are we. Jesus said only one is good. That is God. We are all sinners doomed for an eternal hell. Every single one on the planet. Adam made sure of that. The first Adam. The last Adam. Jesus Christ came that we might know God. Hallelujah. Trying to live a works-based life and a life in grace is like coming to Jesus and say, Jesus, I just want you to know I spent all day at my ex-husband's house. I cleaned the house for him. I cooked for him. I served him. I did everything I could for him. But now I'm home, Jesus. Now, how well would that work in your marriage? Now, I don't have an ex-wife. But if I did, I promise you, that would not work in my marriage. She doesn't like me looking at other women. She doesn't like me talking to other women. She doesn't like me to get texts from women, phone calls from women. She don't like any other woman touching me, hugging me, getting near me. Now, if I spent all day with my ex-wife, and came home and said, baby, you know where I've been all day? I went over and I changed the oil in her car and I tilled her garden for her and I planted it all. And I was just trying to be kind. Well, I'm getting ready to experience some unkindness. But think about it. When we're trying to live a life of grace and we're actually living a life in the law, it's like we are forsaking our husband and coming and spending time with our ex-husband. Because anyone that gets born again was under the law before they got saved. We're talking about humility and practical ways to demonstrate it, to work it in our life. Because once we are born again, we're not going back to the law to get right with God. We're already right with God. Jesus Christ already made that reality for us. We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. We've been bought with the price. We belong to God. We are His sons and daughters. Hallelujah to His name. So it doesn't matter what the law says. I'm not under that. All the good works I produce because I'm in love with my husband. We are the bride of Christ. And I know that's hard for men, you know, because we're men. And that's what every man is kind of, you know, we are more than just a little bit homophobic. I know what I'm talking about. I've been in the locker rooms. I've heard the talk. I know what it's all about. So we're men. We're not a bride. But you are if you belong to Jesus. And you better quit spending time with your ex. And you better be satisfied with your lover. Because he's more than enough. We heard of his faithfulness earlier. And we're not doing what we do to get what he gives. Because that makes us a prostitute. We're doing what we do because we love him. We're so thankful for all the goodness that he bestows upon us. But there are practical things that we can do to humble ourselves. He tells us to humble ourselves. Or humble, if you talk like that. The first thing I'm going to talk about this morning is the one that I haven't talked about until now. And I'm not going to talk about it very long because everybody will be mad. Because as Americans, this is probably our biggest struggle. Actively submit to authority. The good and the bad. See, it's easy to submit to authority if you like it. But the Bible doesn't just tell us to submit to authority that we like. 1 Peter 2:17 says this. Boy, we need to get this. If you love him, we need to get this. Honor all people. That's what it says. We have a real tendency to look down on some people. I'm just going to tell you straight up, that's wrong. Because the Bible says it is. Honor all people. Do you know what that word in that says all here, translated all in English, you know what that word means in the Greek? All. Honor all people. So I don't know how it got in the Constitution because a lot of the founders didn't really believe it. But all men are created equal. I understand it's in the Bill of Rights. All men are created equal. Equal. Yep. We're the ones that change that. Not God. Love the brotherhood. That's us. Fear God. See, there's a lot of people that believe because John said perfect love casteth out fear. They don't understand that John is not talking about the fear of God. John is talking about a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. But the one time that John says perfect love casts out fear does not negate the other over 15 times in the New Testament that God says fear me. And you know what the Greek word means that's translated fear? Fear. Phobos. Like you're scared. See, if the fear of God was in the church, we would honor all men. The reason we don't honor all men is because we don't fear God. We exalt ourselves above what God says. I'm just telling it like it is this morning. I told you you wouldn't like this. That's why I'm going to hurry. Fear God. Honor the king. The king that Peter is talking about had already murdered James, the brother of John. He said, honor him. He had Peter in jail to kill him too, but the angel of God set Peter free. Can I just say this? It's been on my heart all morning. The Republican Party is not the party of God. The Democrat Party is not the party of God. When God comes back, He's not coming to take sides. He's coming to take over. Romans 13, verse 1 says, let every soul, you know what that word every means? Everyone. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. See, if you get over yourself, this gets a lot easier. But as long as you're sitting on the throne, this is going to be hard. As soon as you get yourself off the throne and you say, here I am, Lord Jesus, I humble myself to you, this gets way easier. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Now you can do with that whatever you want, but I'm going to humble myself under authority. That's what I'm going to do, because I'm not interested in the judgment of God. Our culture does not value submission. Rather, it promotes individualism. How purposely and actively do we work on submission to those God has placed as authorities in our lives? Doing so is a good way to humble ourselves. And I'm going to say this, the only way that we escape what Paul is writing right here is if the authorities tell us to do something that is contrary to what God tells us to do. When the governing authorities told Peter, James, and John, do not speak anymore in the name of Jesus, they said, will we obey God or will we obey you? But there ain't nobody in the land telling me not to speak in the name of Jesus. And I'm just going to tell you this morning, if you want the judgment of God to come off of your life in this area, you need to humble yourself under authorities. I'm going to move quickly. Here's one that goes with it. You would know God would do that. I didn't even realize how perfectly following this is. Receive correction and feedback from others graciously. God has such a sense of humor. Proverbs 10 says in verse 17, he who keeps instructions is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. See, if there is a straight and narrow way, and I'm not saying it's going to send you to hell, you're saved by grace. I tried to make that perfectly clear at the beginning of the service. But there is a straight and a narrow way, and if God sends somebody to bring correction in our life and we refuse correction, the Bible says we will go astray. Now, he also says some other things. Proverbs 12 and 1 says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he who hates correction, the New King James says, is stupid. Quickly moving. In the Phoenix area, a local East Valley pastor was noted for graciously receiving any negative feedback or correction offered. This is a pastor. He would simply say, thank you for caring enough to share that with me. I will pray about it and get back to you. Look for the kernel of truth in what people are trying to offer you, even if it comes from a dubious source. Always pray, Lord, what are you trying to show me through this? Bill Johnson was approached one day, and it talks about, I can't remember exactly where it's at. It may be Ezekiel. I can't remember where the passage is at. But there's a passage talking about the shepherds that have gone astray and how God is going to just destroy them. And this young man walks up to Bill Johnson and he reads the passage out of the scripture and points his finger at him and says, "You are that man." Now, how do you think Bill Johnson responded to that? Here's his response. I love this. He said, "Thank you. That took a lot of courage for you to come and tell me." And he didn't call him the Antichrist, but that's really what he was saying. He said, "Thank you. That took a lot of courage for you to come and say that to me. I appreciate it very much." That was his response. What would our response be? Would we receive that correction? See, we are reacting in humility when we react as Jesus did. The Bible says when Jesus was reviled, he did not revile back. The third thing, and this is not a 3-point sermon, it's more like a 9. But I'm going to tell you, when I come to church, I don't care if I have the happy sermon or if I have a corrective sermon or if I have an easy word or a challenging word. When I come to the house of God, I'm not in a hurry. I don't have anything better to do. And if you do, you really need to think about that. If you've got better things to do than to be in the house of God, are you a lover or a prostitute? Well, I don't like correction. Well, what does the Bible say about that? I just read it. Accept, A-C-C-E-P-T. They pulled some teeth, and I'm telling you, you don't know how much those teeth help you talk. Accept a lowly place. Proverbs 25. The Bible says in Proverbs 25 verse 6, "Do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great. For it is better that he say to you, 'Come up here,' than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen." See, in Luke chapter 14, Jesus uses the same example, and he's talking about a wedding. He said, when you go to a wedding, he said, don't take the choice seat. He said, because when the master of ceremony comes in and he sees you sitting in the best seat, he's going to have a guest that he's considers a higher guest. It's just the way that culture ran. And he's going to tell you, you need to move down. And he said, there you're going to be humbled in front of everybody. He said, go sit in the lowest seat. He said, that way when the master of ceremony comes in, he goes, oh, no, move up higher. And you'll be exalted in front of everyone. See, that's the way this stuff works. God said, if you want to live, you got to die. If you want to have, you got to give. If you want to be exalted, you've got to humble yourself. That's just the way the kingdom works. Here's the next one. Purposely associate with people of lower state than you. Purposely associate with people of lower state than you. And that is not that you're better than them. That's not what that's talking about at all. I already shared with you, our Creator has created all men equal. But we have to realize there's some people that are struggling with life. And we can't avoid the people that are struggling. There's people that are living under bridges. There's people like folks at different shelters and stuff. And I want to commend you guys sending all that food to people yesterday. The Bible says, sending it to people that are struggling with life. The Bible says this. He said, he that gives to the poor lends to God. God pays his debts. If you give to the poor, God said, you're lending to me. There's nothing wrong with the blessings of God as long as we're not a prostitute. We didn't give that because we thought God was going to do something. We give that because we love God. And if we love God, we're going to love people too. Hallelujah. John said you can't separate that. Purposely associate with people of lower state than you. In Luke 7, it says, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to eat, and behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her hair and wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he spoke within himself, said, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is that's touching him, for she is a sinner. See, Jesus was looked down upon because he went to these kind of people. He was not afraid to touch lepers. He was not afraid to pardon adulteresses. He was not afraid to have a woman that was a sinner touch his feet, kiss his feet, anoint them with oil, wet them with her tears, and wipe them with her hair. Jesus was not offended by this. He was not hurt by this. He did not consider it wrong. That's the kind of people that he was reaching out to. And they ask him, how do you do this? How do you hang around with tax collectors and sinners? He said, the healed people don't need a physician. He said, the sick people do. See, the people that are struggling with life, that's why we're here. If God did not have a purpose for us to go help people, the instant we got saved, he'd take us out of here. Because he knows how hard it is. He knows how cruel people are. He knows how much persecution and lying. I mean, I had a brother tell me today, people made phone calls, got him fired from his job. We see it all the time. There's people that oppose us, people that lie about us, people that talk about us behind our back. They spread rumors at work. They do all kinds of things to make our life more difficult and more miserable. Jesus would not leave us here in the midst of that, except he wants us to go out and to bring those people that are hurting and lonely and broken, and they don't have any hope, they don't have any way, they don't have any life. But praise be to God, we know the way, the truth, and the life, and he lives on the inside of us. And if we will humble ourselves and go hang around these people and tell them about Jesus and demonstrate Jesus, we're doing our job. We're humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And God will say, come up here, boy. Come up here, girl. Come be with me. Because the humble, he will lift up. But the prideful, he will resist. But I don't like that part about me humbling myself to Joe Biden. Yeah, I know you don't. But what I know is nothing. My opinion doesn't matter. God knows you don't either. That's where the problem is. I can't do nothing. I don't want to do anything to you. I want nothing but good for you. You know what my job is? My job is to patiently come back here week after week, day after day, telling you the truth in the hope that you will repent and you can escape the trap the devil has you in. Well, the devil ain't got me in no trap. Well, if you're not submitted to authority, he does. It's just the truth. If you continue in Jesus' word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You'll be his disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, I don't want to. Well, I don't either. I don't like him either. But I've got to submit to him. I got to pray to God for him. I just don't like him. Well, I'm going to be honest right here, right now, in front of God and everybody. I cannot think of a single politician, maybe one or two, that I like. I think they're all... Help me, Lord. That's not honoring them. I want to say it. I do say it sometimes. That's when I have to get down on my knees beside my bed. Say, I blew it again, Jesus. I know that's not what you want. I want you to change my heart into what you want it to be. I want you to give me the attitude that you want me to have. I want you to work in me, God, because I need it. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Because I don't want to honor these people. I don't really like correction. I don't want to spend my time chasing people that 9 out of 10 of them are going to reject everything I say. They don't want help. They don't want my help. But see, God didn't ask me whether I liked it or not. He just simply said, will you do it for me? Do you love me enough to do it for me? And then the answer should be, yes, Lord, I love you enough. I don't really love them enough yet, but I love you enough. You might as well tell him the truth because he knows. That's the way we get fixed, is when we confess it. And if we continue to just be in absolute opposition to what the Word of God says, what does that say about us? Leonard Ravenhill said this, and I'll shut up. I know you've had probably all you can take. The thing to do is just get this and listen to it in short portions. You know, like taking medicine. Every day, listen to 10 minutes. And through the week, you'll have heard the whole thing. But I had to say, I know. Leonard Ravenhill said this. He said, the world hated the one perfect man that ever walked the planet. Despised him so much that they crucified him. And yet, the world gets along fine with us. He said, are we compromised? See, if the world gets along good with you, I promise you, you're not doing any of this stuff. But if the world hates you, the world lies about you, like I was saying earlier, then you're probably doing more of this than you think. Because this is how this thing works most of the time. The people that are the most holy among us are constantly praying, God, help them, and repenting and seeking God and saying, God, if you don't help me, I'm not going to make it. And the ones that are farthest from these things, they're going around going, everything's great. I got no problem. I got this. I got this cat by the tail. Well, we're not after a cat. We don't want a tail. We're supposed to be the head. We're not supposed to be beneath. We're supposed to be above. We're supposed to be like a city set upon a hill. We're supposed to be like a light shining in the darkness. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. And though salt may burn when it gets in our eyes, it's one of the greatest preservatives on the planet. One of these days, the Christians are going to be taken out of here. You think it's rough now. I heard John Hagee say it. Because a lot of people have prophesied the greatest depression ever. John Hagee says, I can tell you exactly when it's going to take place. He said, at the rapture of the church. He said, because the Christians are the only ones working. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. We're getting ready to run a special, $7.99. You can get the t-shirt that says, I survived another sermon by Barry Gott. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Lord. See, I know that that's a hard pill to swallow. I know it is, because it is for me too. And if there's somebody in here that's not a Christian, they're going, man, I didn't know serving Jesus was going to be such a challenge. I told you, getting saved is not what I was talking about. I was talking about the fruit of salvation. That we do these things because He did save us. I believe salvation is much easier than that. I'm not saying your life is going to get easier. I believe there's opposition to anyone that's truly following Jesus. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. God is not trying to keep people out of heaven. He's trying to get people in heaven. And the reason He wants His children to walk these things out is because He wants the world to see a people that is different. He wants the world to see a people that are shining bright. That are not like everyone else. People that go through challenges and they handle things differently. The world needs to see that. And as the music continues to play, if you want to do business with God, maybe you've never been saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He is God's Son. Believe that God raised Him from the dead. Believe that in your heart of hearts, that God loved you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. That He rose again and that He's seated at the right hand of God. Believe that, because that's true repentance. If you've never been saved, please don't leave here today without receiving Jesus. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, and there's some of this stuff that just seemed really challenging, there's a lot of things that Jesus said that's really challenging. Just do like I do. Jesus, help me. I need more grace. He told us, He said, I'll give more grace to the humble. That's what I need every day. More grace. More grace. So if the Lord dealt with you about some things, just humble your heart before Him now and say, God, I need you. I need you. If you expect me to do what your word says, I've got to have some help. I can't do that without you. I've heard so many testimonies about people that God backed them into a corner and said, you've got to forgive. You've got to love. You've got to let this go. And they said, God, it's not in me to let this go. And they went to the Lord in prayer, and God answered that prayer. And He gave them the love they needed. He gave them the grace to forgive they needed. He gave them the help they needed. That's how good your God is. Does he expect a lot from his kids? Yes. He expects a lot from his kids because he paid a lot to have you. He paid a great price. You've not been bought with the blood of bulls and goats, but you've been redeemed with the precious, spotless, sinless blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, he expects a lot of us because he paid a great price for us. You don't have a better place to be. You may think you do, but I promise you, you don't. Than to be in God's house, doing business with God, asking God to help you right now. Now, if you need God to help you right there where you're seated or at this altar, you need to do business with God. If you're here today and you need touched by God, maybe you have something physically wrong, maybe there's some brokenness in your heart that you need God to heal, whatever it is, you have a situation at home, you need God to intervene, we will pray with anyone that needs prayer. And I believe we'll see God move. We've seen God move. We've seen backs healed. We've seen cancers disappear. We've seen families restored, marriages restored. Our God is a good God. And he is a powerful God. If you need prayer this morning, here's the deal. If you're worried about your roast burning, get a crock pot. Put it in a crock pot. Put it on low. Go to the house of God. It won't burn. Because the farther we get in this thing, the services are just going to keep getting longer and longer and longer. It's just the way it is when God begins to move. See, that's one of the biggest problems in the church. We get in such a hurry. Thank you, Lord. He spoke to me on the way to church this morning, and I'm releasing this right now. He spoke this word. He said, slow down. I thought he was talking about my driving. But it didn't take long before I realized he was not talking about my driving. He was talking to us. Slow down. Stop being in a hurry when we're dealing with his presence. I shared stories with you about Randy Clark. They prayed all night long for people. The service started at 7 o'clock. At 5 a.m. the next morning, they're still in service. And this woman drove, I forget how many hours. Somebody called, her sister called her and said, you got to get down here. God is moving. This woman had a brain tumor. The service is almost over at 5 a.m. in the morning. Everybody's getting ready to leave. And she literally falls through the front door. She's exhausted. This brain tumor is killing her. And they prayed for her, and God instantly, miraculously removed that brain tumor. But the service had been going on for 7 p.m. to 5 a.m. 10 hours. But God had done amazing things. Now we can be in a hurry. Or we can obey God and we can slow down and we will see God do amazing things. If you need prayer, come. 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 Jesus. Jesus. Y'all must be doing good.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.